Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. For brothers, we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is something that everybody should know. This is an experience in all of life. You want to be seen signing up for enough CRM training things this week so that your boss will be able to judge you and give you what's due. Don't forget that your bosses are absolutely being judged on how this goes too. That's the way life is. You get what is due to you. That is, of course, the way the Lord has laid out his world as well. We are merely echoing him, and our judgments are pretty flawed from time to time. We can get away with an awful lot. It's not that way with God. That's why it is so important, as we sang in our hymn, to know what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, to be able to say that, yes, through his redemption, we are in fact able to stand at the last day with nothing left incomplete, with nothing rolled out insufficiently. We will stand righteous before him through the gift that he gives us in holy baptism, through the redemptive work that Jesus Christ has done for us. Christ's salvation, notice, retains the fear of God. It doesn't erase judgment day so that we don't care about it or it has no effect on us. But it gives to us the promise that we are his sons. And if we are his sons, then we have confidence that we are his heirs. That God has, just as Paul writes here, prepared us not for an uncertain judgment day, a day of terror, but prepared us to be those who are sons, lifting up their heads to see the redemption drawing near at last, finally, what we've been waiting for. That this is, in fact, a Lord who has prepared us for life, a life that swallows up all of the things that are mortal, the things that Christ has paid for by his blood that we do not yet see brushed aside by any means in our lives and in our experiences, and even in the things that happen to us. And yet that we, by faith, know have been taken away by the Lamb of God. And at the last day, then, everything that we see will catch up. Everything that we experience and feel in these bodies will catch up to what is truly the case, that we are a new creation baptized into the death of Christ as we are. This leads us then to two attitudes and understandings in this life. The first is that we are hope-filled when we look at and understand our bodies and everything that they have to go through, the least of which is sitting in a computer lab for a week. And the second thing is that we make it our aim to please our Lord who has redeemed us. So the first is that our Christian hope is the resurrection of the dead and life everlasting. We confess this all the time in the Creed. I wish it was closer to the Latin so that we would say, we expect the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. That's our directional attitude and understanding of the hope that we have. Now, Paul uses this image of tents and houses. He contrasts what we have now, our bodies, in fact, as a tent. And the thing that we will have is a sturdy building that has none of the troubles that a tent has. But that is the way our bodies are in this life. They're flimsy. The reason they're so flimsy is that they are mortal. They die. And the reason that they die is because they are sin-filled. And the result is that we groan with all of its weakness. Now, everybody groans because of the weakness of their bodies, because of the things that they've done that are now catching up to them, or the things that have been done to them, or simply the wearing out that we see in all of creation. But a Christian groans for a different reason. A Christian groans in part because they know that it actually should be different than this. Well, the rest of the world thinks, well, that's just how life is. Death is a part of life. That doesn't really make sense. But you know why. Because we weren't created to die. And we also groan then, as Paul explains, not to be free of this body, confusing this body with all of the sufferings and ailments that it has, its flimsiness. We want to be all the more clothed, he says. We want to not go out and become homeless someday. We want to be in a house that doesn't have all the weaknesses of a tent. We're not trying to escape our flesh into the digital world or into the spiritual realm, into some ethereal place. We want to go into something that is more permanent and whole and sturdy, something that is sinless and therefore is not subject to death and its fear as we are. Or as Paul writes elsewhere, right? We want to be those who have been changed, to have bodies that are like our Lord's glorious body. He has the power to subdue all such flimsy things under his feet and to restore us to something much greater. What is mortal in us is dying then through the corruption of sin. But the promise that we have, the hope that we have, is not that finally we'll just get rid of bodies, but that even the things that are so degrading in us at all times, that these things will be swallowed up in all the more beautiful embodied life, that we will have truly an eternal life with God. That's our hope. That's what we mean when we say we expect, we look forward to, we are waiting for the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting that continues after it. This is what the Spirit of God has been given to us for. He is the Lord and giver of life, after all. So he has not been given to us to ignore the needs of this world or this body, but to enliven them, to breathe true eternal life into them, even before the last day and the resurrection to eternal life has quite come yet. That's our hope. While we are hoping and walking toward that day, we are of good courage. Paul repeats that twice. We are of good courage despite all the things that might seem, especially the way we feel it in our bodies, to be discouraging. We remain of good courage. This is the result of faith. This is the result of having a hope and something that you're going toward that is getting better. And we make it in the meantime our aim to please God. We are not afraid of death. That is something Christians can say. It isn't to say that we aren't at times very afraid of death, that we aren't noticing at all times the weakness and flimsiness of our bodies that we wish weren't the case. But it does mean that we know how to deal with it. We know what our hope is. We know how the Lord, in fact, will bring all these things into perfection the way only He can do it. We're not afraid of it. It isn't the same thing as welcoming death. We are not looking forward to the last day or to our last day in the sense that we are seeking it. That would not be pleasing to God. We are not here, remember, to shuffle off this life, but rather to endure through sin, through all of sin's effects, until the day when the Lord, in His timing, gives to us that full clothing that will be free of all of these mortal difficulties. And His timing, of course, will accomplish it. Ours never could. But that eternal life is already given to us now, so that it pervades our attitudes, our ways, so that we are continuing it. This is what it means when he says we are away from the Lord while in the body, so to speak. But that means that we walk by faith and not by sight. We live on the Lord's words. We live on his promises, which even though we don't see them fulfilled, we don't see all things in subjection under Christ's feet yet. We know it is the case because everything has been done by him, because he said it is finished. He has said all we're waiting for is our redemption to appear, or as Peter says, for our faith that has been held up to finally have its outcome revealed to us at the last day. We walk in this life with faith, and we do it with great hope in what is to come. And that means that we are not destroyed by all of the things that are damaging to ourselves, to our person, that are the things that are so discouraging, the sorrows of this life and this body. Rather, we are driven always to courage, great courage, because we know that we have nothing to lose. What should we lose that is greater than our life? Well, as we say so often, His steadfast love is better than life. And in fact, His steadfast love leads to eternal life, even for those who die. And so then, we want to use these bodies in the meantime for a good use. We put them to some good purpose, even as they are wearing out like a tent would in the midst of all sorts of attacks. We are the ones who at Judgment Day haven't just been freed from the terror altogether. That terror is still there. We know how it's been answered in Christ Jesus. But we are sons. We don't want to displease this Father of ours. We want to serve Him. We know the Lord has redeemed us. We're bound to Him now. We seek the commendation of our Lord who has redeemed us. He's the one who's prepared us for eternal life. He's the one, as we said, by His gift, His sacrament of holy baptism, has made us heirs of eternal life. And therefore, we are courageous all this time while we are away from Him in the body. We are walking by faith in Him who has redeemed us until at last we will be fully at home in Christ, fully clothed, and yes, fully alive. And we will see that by His mercy, wow, He has declared that we are indeed well-pleasing in all things to Him. Thanks be to God in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.